Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends like my friend, Dr. Judy Jasek. Well, she doesn't let friends feed kibble. And I'm telling you what, she is really working hard to remove some of the crazy things that are going on in the veterinary community that are harming our dogs. How are you out there in Tennessee, Dr. Jasek?
Doing good. You know, kind of warm and humid, but you know, that's just summertime in Tennessee. Thank God we have an air conditioner. You know, my husband Chris said the other day, he says, you know, if the power is going to go out, he'd much rather have it go out in the wintertime because we can stay warm. We got a stove, you know, wood stove and all that, but summertime, staying cool, that'd be pretty tough here. But yeah,
I'm telling you, it was cold here this morning. I mean, seriously, sweater weather this morning, still up here in the mountains. So, yeah, okay, I feel for you.
Kind of jealous. But then again, I was able to start planting my garden in March. So, you know, you gotta, it's what you want to live. But I don't miss shoveling all those feet and feet of snow. That's for sure.
I know. It's crazy. Hey, so one of the things that we constantly talk about, Dr. Jasek, are toxins and things that are causing our pets to be ill. And one of the things, you know, you and I are looking at constantly is where is the evidence, right? Where's the evidence that said virus exists or said germ exists and causes problems in pets? And we're going to talk about kind of what you're doing to address that law out in Tennessee in regards to rabies. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that there's a raw company out there right now that's getting beat up because supposedly they have some sort of bad bacteria, pathogenic bacteria in their food. And you know what is crazy to me, Dr. Jasek, is let's say you have one dog from one pet parent that gets sick. Now, in this particular situation, said dog died. Now, as we look at evidence and kind of what's going on out there, I would have to say, how did we make that determination that food was the cause? And what I find curious about that situation was that pet parent would not release their veterinary records. Why would someone who really wants to get to the bottom of what caused their pet to expire not release their veterinary records?
Yeah, because they want somebody to blame. So my thought, they want somebody to blame, and they have their veterinarian support in blaming the food company. They, you know, a lot of the whole conventional veterinary medicine pretty much saying that raw can cause this. So they're online researching and finding all this stuff that could be wrong with raw food. And, you know, when people are angry and sad and grieving the loss, they oftentimes want something to blame. And if they can find something to blame, they will. And they have support in blaming the food company, even though it has no basis. So if they don't release the records, that tells me, I don't know, to me, it says they're questioning that already. Because if, you know, if this were truly the cause, say, which I don't believe it is, but say it truly were the cause, then why not put all the evidence out there on the table? There'd be no reason not to. So it seems to me deep inside somewhere, they are questioning it and they don't want to go down that road. They've chosen their scapegoat. It's supported by the veterinary profession. So let's just run with that. We don't want to go down any other rabbit holes. That's what I would think.
You know, I was looking at Christine Massey's work. So they did a Official Information Act request. So you can still call it a FOIA, okay, where they're asking these agencies to prove causation, okay? And so there was one that was done in May of 2022, and this one actually is a request for salmonella, that salmonella satisfies Koch postulates proving that it causes disease. And so what you will find when you look at Christine Massey's work is that there is no actual proof that these agencies that say there is proof, when asked specific questions, cannot provide any evidence. And I find that to be crazy and disturbing, that if this has gone on for decades, and they're saying, oh, this causes a disease, you would think, Dr. Jacek, that there would be mounds of evidence that would say, here's how we came to that. Here's how we came to that reasoning. And what we find is that there's nothing. Actually, in this thing that Christine Massey has, it says, I will accept any thing that fulfills Koch's postulates, authored by anyone, anywhere, anytime. Just, do you have it? And they don't. And if you guys don't know what the Koch's postulates are, let me just tell you what they are. So number one is that the microorganism must be found in abundance in all organisms suffering from the disease, okay, but should not be found in healthy organisms. So Dr. Jacek, this is one thing that we find all the time, is that salmonella is present in healthy dogs and non-healthy dogs.
Right.
That number one right there, it must be found in abundance in all organisms suffering from the disease, but it shouldn't be found in healthy organisms. So how can that be just that one, a valid control? How are we determining that?
Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, and even if it was just found in these individuals getting sick, just because it showed up doesn't mean like correlation isn't causation. You know, just because two things show up at the same time, it doesn't mean one is causing the other. It could just be, you know, they're showing up randomly. But yeah, if the same organisms are showing up in healthy animals, and I mean, even in the food, like if this bacteria was so pathogenic, I mean, I guess they can say it was contaminated after it was processed, but if it's in, you know, there's this whole thing that like raw meat is just naturally contaminated with bacteria just by the fact of it being raw. And if you cook it, all that risk goes away. This is what a lot of people think. I hear this, you know, from clients with cancer patients. Oh, I've heard it's not safe to feed cancer patients raw. I need to cook the food and kill the bacteria. Like there's inherently bacteria. Well, if there was all this inherent bacteria, how is the animal that it came from alive? How was the cow alive or the chicken alive? If raw food, which is its tissues, its living tissues, its muscles, its organs, its liver and kidneys and heart, if that stuff was so inherently populated by these pathogenic bacteria, well, then how are those animals live? It doesn't make any sense when you really think about it and just ask a few simple questions. It's so easy to punch holes in that narrative, I think, but the vets don't, you know, don't acknowledge that. And a lot of people don't, like this woman that's blaming the raw food company. There's no evidence, but it's the popular narrative. And those narratives are, you know, so dangerous because they, you know, they form these foundational beliefs, and man, they're hard to break.
Yeah. And What did Dr. Kaufman say? Just because something has been repeated over and over and over does not validate it. So
right. You see that on the evening news, you know,
right.
they'll say flat out lies. But, you know, have you ever seen those, you know, screenshots where they've got like, you know, 30 different stations and they're saying exact same narrative. So that mm-hmm. narrative is being put out there. It's being put out there for a reason. And if people can turn on all these different news stations and everybody they know is hearing the same thing, they take it to be true without even questioning it.
Right. And I would wonder, Dr. Jasek, if the veterinarians actually know what the four Koch's postulates are, right? Because number two, so they're saying if you want to really find out something, then it needs to adhere to the four Koch's postulates. So number two mm-hmm. is the microorganism, let's say salmonella, must be isolated from a diseased organism and grown in pure culture. That one right there isn't ever done.
No,
why?
Never.
Because you're going to stain a culture. You're going to put antibiotics in a culture. You're going to do things that would not be pure, right? And so that's number two. Then number three is the cultured microorganism should cause disease when introduced into a healthy organism. It should cause, if this thing causes disease, Dr. Jasek.
Right.
We've isolated it. We've not added anything to it that could be toxic, right? That could be toxic to a healthy organism. We need to make sure that it's pure and then introduce it into a healthy human or animal. That's number three, which they have never been able to make a healthy person sick from said organism.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four is the microorganism must be re-isolated from the inoculated diseased experimental host and identified as being identical to the original specific causative agent. So those four things right there, I don't know why when the FDA steps in and says, oh my gosh, we're going to do a recall on your food because this is going to kill a human or a pet or whatever. I don't know what they're trying to say. Have they ever done this?
No. I mean, I never learned that in you know, traditional veterinary education. They don't teach logical thinking. It's not even education. Quit using that word. It's indoctrination. It's just teaching vets how to go along with the system, how to make money for the pharmaceutical companies and for the big food companies. And that's really what it's all about. And, you know, keep pets sick because then they, you know, they can sell more drugs and all that. It really truly is indoctrination into the system. And then that, you know, almighty license that vets are so afraid to do anything that might, you know, cause them to lose their license. That's just handcuffs. It forces you to do what the board says. And, you know, I mean, there's people all the time. I actually heard a story. I just got an email a few days ago. So Dr. Margot Roman, she's a veterinarian. Have you heard of her?
That does the repopulation of the bacteria through the fecal.
Transplant. She started the fecal transplant. She also was big in ozone. So she was the one that my very original ozone training that I got. She taught that. It was a multi-practitioner conference, but she taught the veterinary part. She's also gotten into plant-based feeding. So I just kind of don't really follow much of what she does anymore. However, she sent out a mass email because she lost her license 2 years ago for recommending that people get home ozone generators, like they're available over the counter. Right? Anybody can go buy them. Like it's not like she was you know, doing a prescription thing or anything. But she mentioned COVID, evidently. But in terms of the pets, she was somehow alluding to the fact that pets could get COVID and that ozone could help. And it seemed like because she correlated the home ozone generator with COVID, I guess they yanked her license. I didn't know that until I got this email. Like I said, I kind of, when she got into the plant-based thing, I actually had a conversation with her once, and she was so hot to trot that dogs do just fine. And then she does these fecal transplants, and she sells her dog's poop for considerable amount of money. And I would tell my clients, like, okay, you know, you're buying poop from a plant-based dog that's eating plant-based diet. How do you think that's going to be a match, you know, for your carnivore? So anyway, I hadn't, you know, heard anything about her, but she lost her license, and evidently there's some kind of hearing and she hasn't gotten it back. So the letter, the email was like, I think asking veterinarians to write letters kind of on her behalf or supporting her cause. But, you know, it's just circling back to the narrative thing. She said something they did not want out there. Now, she's also been very outspoken. I know she's been like thrown out of lectures at Tufts University and stuff for speaking out about the advantages of feeding raw. So she probably also was a bit of a target because of that. And so they pick people that they want to make an example of. And that might have been part of it. But, you know, she was just speaking a narrative that they didn't want out there. I mean, I recommend home ozone generators all the time. I mean, people can go buy them. Like, you know, how is that bad to recommend them? But she was presenting in a way that they didn't want to get out there. So the narratives are very tight, and there's money behind them. You know, I mean, why do you think they're going after the raw food industry? I mean, who do you think's really behind that? Well, it's these big food companies that make all this money selling all these other diets. They don't want these raw food companies to exist. And they know that they can't take these hits. You know, how can these smaller companies can't take these hits over and over and over again? So it's the big conglomerate, and these, you know, food companies, your Hills and Roke, they're owned by even bigger conglomerates. So they've got all the money they need to pay off the FDA, you know, give them some, you know, little kickbacks to go in and be really hard on these manufacturers, because they don't want that industry to exist. And that's, you know, that's what's really going on. And then just like with the Hills lawsuit on the DCM, you know, they'll pay people to get that information out there. And because vets are not critical thinkers, most of the conventional vets are not, you know, they go to a meeting, they hear something in a lecture, and everybody's talking about it, so it must be true. And then they believe that. And it's like you said, everybody's talking about it. So it just becomes the truth. And then people believe their vet because they're a nice person and they wear a white coat.
And you know what? That would be great if we weren't injecting toxins, right? And so this is something that we really want to take a look at. And I was listening to, you know, Dr. Kaufman, and he was saying, look, there needs to be control groups that aren't vaccinated and groups that are vaccinated. And he said, and actually, there are studies where the vaccinated pets and people are sicker. They have, or maybe it was Mark Gober.
I think it's Gober, isn't it? Gober. G-O-B-E-R.
B-E-R, yeah.
I'm bad with names, but I think that's right.
He was saying, in fact, if these vaccines and shots were so great, then the control group from all aspects should be healthier, right?
Right.
On all levels, but they're not. And I wanted to come back to the response from this group called the ESR. This was the group in Canada that they asked to respond to this salmonella actually causing disease. Here was their response, Dr. Jasek. They said, fulfilling Koch's postulate was used over 100 years ago to determine if an organism actually caused disease. And in the case of salmonellosis, this has been undisputed for decades. It is not ESR's role to justify something this long proven and accepted worldwide.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? So they're going, oh, that was proven 100 years ago. We're not going to go back and actually take another look at it.
Like, and actually make sure that the way it was proven was, you know, was valid. Just like never question, you know, things that happen in history, right? Because you know, it happened 100 years ago, you read it in your history book. So therefore it must be true.
Right.
That's interesting.
And then the folks that were asking for this information, they responded back and they said, I'm making a formal complaint regarding my official Information Act request for the satisfaction of Koch's postulates for Salmonella bacteria. I'm seeking one of the following. Provide the records that satisfy my request, which is fulfilling Koch's postulates, or reject my my Official Information Act on the grounds of Section 18E or 18G. And it says, I'm looking for one of the above as an outcome from this complaint. I understand that claims made over 100 years ago can appear to hold some sort of validity due to their age. Science provides us the tools to validate preconceived notions, ideas, and theories, i.e., we no longer need to just believe in something because it is old.
It's just so absurd to even think about that. Well, it's old, so, you know, must be true.
And it goes on to say, I suggest that if you truly believe that Salmonella bacteria causes disease, then scientifically prove it by satisfying Koch's postulates with your control groups. The scientific method demands repeatability.
Right.
To which they never got a response. So if you are so sure in your scientific work, and you've been looking at this for 100 years, don't you think there'd be mounds of evidence? And you would just say, here, bozo, here, ignoramus, right, we are the experts, and here is the information, shut your pie hole. But they don't say.
Right. Why would they be so hesitant to, you know, open this can of worms and not revisit it if they had the evidence and it was true? Yeah. Why not share it? And you know, the thing about the controls, I think is really important for people to understand. That's never done. So you take a vaccine, you know, the vaccine companies educate the veterinarian and say, well, you know, these will help keep the pets from getting sick. And they have their own research based on supposed antibody production. You know, who knows how they're saying that these vaccines actually keep pets from getting sick, but they never do the control. They don't, even in the lab, they don't ever have a group that, and out in the real world. So you can create things in the lab that are not like real world, but have real world examples of, like you said, dogs that don't get vaccines, dogs that do get vaccines, which is healthier. They don't want that. They don't want that study.
Well, and if you listen to Mark Gober, right? So he was talking about that when they do these experiments, like with rats, they said, and maybe it was Daniel Reuters, I'm not sure, because I listened to both of these guys. And they're talking about when they really look at what they do with these studies, they'll put these little cones on a rat's face and actually shove into their respiratory system in a very unnatural way, massive amounts of toxic stuff, and then say, see, there it is. This stuff is, you know, there's the virus, there's the thing.
Right. But it's never, like, but it's never the isolated virus. It's all the other toxic stuff that they're supposedly growing the virus in. So it's all the other crap that makes them sick.
Okay, well, Dr. Judy, I don't know when I've seen a rat with a cone on its face being having everything shoved in its face at inordinate amounts that proves anything that would happen in nature. When would that ever happen?
Right.
You could create
anything.
Anything.
Yeah. And anything would be irritating. You could push saline up their nose and it could be irritating if it's pushed up in there in an abnormal way.
So it's just nuts. And I think that you have read Dismantling the Virus Theory by Dr. Stefan Lonka. And, you know, you and I have not ever looked at this as much as we have in this last year. And I think that, as we always say, when you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. So there you are out in Tennessee. And we start looking at this virus information. And number one, we have seen with our own eyes and in your practice over all the years that you've been practicing, over 30 years, certainly in this industry where we have a lot of dogs that we can look at, a lot of history we can ask about. So we start looking at the rabies mandates, the rabies vaccine. In Tennessee, it's a pretty tough one. What is the law about rabies there?
It's actually a Class C misdemeanor. So it is actually a law. In Colorado, there's not actually a law. It's a recommendation, which means like they can't put you in jail or the county, I guess, can have fines because your pet doesn't have a current like rabies shot, but there's no direct repercussions on you as far as the law. But the way it's written, it's like they call it like harboring an animal without rabies. Like you're harboring a fugitive or something. Oh, and I'm like, okay, this law has to be just ancient. And where did it come from? And so then I got thinking, okay, the vets got their heads up their sphincters and changing their minds about stuff is going to be, I think, almost impossible. You'd have to get so many people to pull their business away to really make them change what they're doing. So, you know, why not go after the laws? Maybe we could present this evidence. There's so much evidence and so many people and more people all the time. I mean, I'm constantly amazed because there's like just finding so many cool podcasts more and more all the time. And I started with Dr. Cowan and Dr. Kaufman on this virus thing. And I thought, well, maybe they're the only ones talking about it. Oh no, there's lots and lots of people out there talking about this. So there's so much really sound evidence. I mean, or sound of evidence that the existence of any virus, and in particular rabies, if we want to talk about the rabies mandates, it's never been proven. Just like in our webinar, you know, I went through the history of Pasteur, just kind of invented it. He invented the narrative, and the narrative stuck because they wanted it to stick. That's the narrative they want out there. They wanted to keep people afraid of these germs and keep doing these vaccines and these treatments because it makes money for the medical industry. So I'm, you know, gathering support to try to go before. I'm looking into how I can go before the Tennessee legislature and present this and see if it's possible to get the laws changed. And, you know, I think Tennessee is a good state to do it because they do seem to be a bit more open-minded. Like they allowed ivermectin to be sold over the counter here to humans during COVID. You know, we passed the no chemtrails, no geoengineering law just here recently. So maybe if I can present this in a very logical and, way that they can understand, meaning people that have never heard this information before. People listening to us have heard us. We've been talking about this for a while, but people have never heard this and believe that rabies is a thing and believe truly that it's in the best interest of human health and pet health. I mean, that's what a lot of people actually believe, and start to present that information that, maybe we could get the law changed. And so I'm
at least to make it where it's not a misdemeanor. Right. I mean, I don't know what kind of steps, you know, and I guess you will learn that as you keep going, and you've got some pretty heavy hitters with you that are looking at this. So I think this is awesome. I mean, our hope would be that they would either show substantial control groups and go through the whole virus thing that Kaufman, Cowan, all of these folks have said, look, if you actually have a isolated virus, not a computer generated genome type situation, right? We're looking at a true isolated, you know, Koch's postulate virus type thing, then show it to us.
Right.
And what were you saying that Mark Gober did, Dr. Jacek, that he actually looked at, was this on a virus or was it bacteria that Mark Gober was actually going to run the control group?
It wasn't Mark Gober. It was a guy on the Alex Zek podcast. So I can't remember his name. It was on the Way Forward. And if you go on the Way Forward website and you look at,
I remember that one.
If there's just one that says the most important experiment of the century or something like that.
Okay.
And so they talk about virology, the viruses don't exist in general, but then this gentleman on there, I can't remember his name, I'm really bad with names, but he actually took, so you know what they do is they take this, you know, snot, discharge, whatever supposedly has the virus from the person or the animal, then they put it in the cell culture with antibiotics and bovine fetal serum and all the stuff, they put it together, and then they look at it under a microscope and they find some little thing in there and they call it a virus. Well, he said, nobody's ever done the control. We're talking about controls where they did that whole process. They did the same cell culture and they add all the same stuff in, but they don't add the bodily fluid, whatever they're testing, and they just look at that. Well, he did that. And he has pictures actually on this podcast. It's really pretty cool. They look exactly the same. So there's no difference in what they're looking at between all this toxic stuff they're just putting together in the cell cultures and that same mixture with the snot or poop or whatever they're testing added, which just gives even more evidence that what they're finding are just, they're taking these cell cultures, which not even natural. I mean, they're grown in a lab to begin with, these, you know, cell cultures. I mean, they're from certain tissues, but it's not the same as something happening in your body that has all these ways of staying healthy. But what happens essentially is the stuff that they're adding just is so toxic to these cells that there's these cell breakdowns and then these little artifacts and these different things that they see, and they just found the virus. And you know, it's, and nobody's ever made the effort to try to discount this, but this guy actually looked at these controls and he has the pictures right there on the podcast and they're exactly the same.
So it's on The Way Forward. Okay. That's the podcast. And it's the June 12th episode 99, which is called The Most Important Project of the Century, The End of Virology, The Truth About Bird Flu with Jamie Andrews, Jacob Diaz, and Alex Zek. That's the one, correct?
Yep, that's it.
And then, you know, another one, Dr. Jacek, that I thought was extremely important was the folic acid fortification and the rise in chronic illness. That is a really important podcast where this doctor had a child who had, you know, basically severe brain issues. And she goes through this whole thing and they're talking about folic acid in the synthetic form, guys. Don't get this confused. Okay. So you're going to find folic acid in your green leafies, in a bunch of different real foods. That's fine. But when something is fortified with folic acid, whether that's a supplement, okay, or whether it is where you typically find it are going to be in cereals, pastas, rice, any kind of flours like cakes and cookies and stuff like that.
Maybe dog food.
Come on now, Dr. J.
Just saying.
Come on. I just don't. So you, right? So we got to be looking at that. And she talks about this, and you got to listen to that podcast. That's episode 98, right before 99 on the way forward. And you're welcome, Alec. We don't know Alec, but you're welcome. We're promoting your podcast, but he does good work. Yeah, you got to listen to that, guys. She had dramatic changes in her son.
Son was like almost like autistic.
Yeah.
Autistic symptoms, like headbanging, serious, serious stuff. And she was like really ill, like debilitating headaches and all this stuff. And she was a doctor. And she, it's also very interesting how she made this transition between thinking and working very conventionally into, okay, maybe the system is more messed up than I thought, because they were both like really, really ill.
Right. And she talks about this. She said magnesium, you know, magnesium is the one thing she doesn't believe in. What do you call it? Where you try to regulate one vitamin or mineral, like you and I talk about,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
mono,
like, you know, just using singular nutrients. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She said, just one, magnesium. Now, I don't know how that would relate to the dogs, because I think we probably have good magnesium in the food. But for people, that's the only one that she really does recommend. But it's a fascinating episode, the folic acid fortification and the rise in chronic illness. And so there are some folks out there, Dr. Jasek, that are curious thinkers. Right. That are like, I, like you said, I don't care what the truth is. I just need to find the truth. And if it leads me to find something in direct competition of what I've said before, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And you've said that. It's not as if you're saying, I've got my agenda. The agenda is healthy humans, healthy pets. Right. And that is what the agenda has been for all of these folks who have started questioning. And that's what you're doing. And you're looking at, incredibly, that there is this harboring a fugitive dog, you know, Class C misdemeanor there in Tennessee. And, you know, you're actually questioning, how did that even get to become a law, right? So
what did they base that on? You know?
Right, what was that? Yeah, what? I mean, were there a bunch of frothing dogs running around killing people? I mean, what the hey?
I doubt it, but you know, we'll definitely going to do some digging and find out. And you know, I think sometimes things just need to be brought to the forefront. You know, rabies is such a popular narrative; everybody says it, all the vets say it. You know, and nobody's really stood up and questioned where did these laws come from. And is there really truly a basis for them? And until that's brought to the forefront, they'll keep going on. So why not bring it to the forefront? Now, I also know that there's agendas and there's reasons why they want to keep some of these narratives going. And there's money behind keeping these going, i.e. selling lots of vaccines, which can make, you know, changing laws difficult. But, you know, I feel like just getting this information out there and making an attempt, you're still raising a lot of awareness around the issue. And it takes time. I mean, I've listened to some of the lawmakers here say that it sometimes takes years to get things changed because things move slowly and there's a process. But I mean, why not give it a shot?
Right? This is your time. This is your place, and everything's leading up to this. And there's a lot of people that can back you up that have already done some major digging, some major work, some major research that can help with this and help in your presentation. So we're going to look forward to hearing, you know, where you are in this process, and thank God that you are taking that on. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's a calling, you know. It's like sometimes those things come up, like, hey, I just got to do this. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. And you know, I have no attachment to the outcome. I just want to give it a shot. Like, I'd rather give it a shot and have it go nowhere than say, God, I wish I just at least tried, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of one of those things. You just got to go for it. And that's awesome. And I'm getting some really good support, and that's from people that I think would know if this was just a stupid idea that's never going to go anywhere. So I'm feeling like it's at least worth giving it a shot.
Nice. Well, you guys, you can work with Dr. Jacek over at ahavet.com, ahavet.com. If you have a dog that has some issues that you haven't been able to figure out, and maybe you want to go a different way than putting certain toxins in their body, ahavet.com is where you want to go. All right. Get your dog on a species appropriate diet. You can do that super easy. It's not confusing. We actually have a free 20-minute nutritional consult with Brian. He can help you. He can help you pick out blends. So get your dog on, and your cat. Okay. Meow. Mm-hmm. We still do. We're not, you know, it's just not in our name. But we do the cats, okay? rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Get over there today, where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jacek?
We're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.